This is God's word.
I am who it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can be who it says I can be.
And I will have what it says I can have.
Today,
I will hear the uncompromising word of God.
My mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
My ears are open.
And I better not go to sleep.
I will never be the same in Jesus' name.
And we all said together, amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you.
We thank you for the opportunity that we have to stand in your presence.
We thank you, Lord God, for this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it.
We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives.
We thank you for what you're doing in the lives of married people.
I thank you, Lord God, that your word is coming forth today with power and boldness. And I pray, Lord God, that you would use me today.
Wear me like a glove, Lord God, that I may be able to disseminate what it is that you would have these your people to know and to live out in Jesus' mighty name.
And we all said together, amen.
Amen.
And bless the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Do we have any first-time people in the audience? First time, Ravi.
I know she asked that already. We got a few
first timers in.
Okay, so I do want to give a disclaimer before I begin.
So every September, Pastor Eben actually gives two opportunities for us to worship, and he actually uses the first time is for the married couples. And then actually the second time, which now is the 10:30 and the 12:30, he actually uses it for our singles. And so these specialty services are designed to minister to where you are. And so as a result, if you're here and you're single, you're in the married couple service. And you don't necessarily have to leave this service, but I do want to invite you to stay for one more service, because those services are specifically designed for singles. And the topic that we have for our married couples is Till Death Do Us Part. So for those of you that are watching through the lens, and for those that are here for the very first time, I think it's important to understand the why that we actually have these specialty services just during the month of September. So Pastor Eben and the church years ago used to have marriage conferences or single conferences, and the people that actually needed to come to the conferences, guess what? They wasn't coming to the conferences. And so Pastor Eben got an idea, and he decided to cast a broad net. Everybody say broad net. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say broad net. He decided to cast a broad net. And so in the month of September, he decided to have a specialty service just for married people and a specialty service just for the singles. And so these services are designed. This is free counseling, y'all. Free counseling to the married folk and free counseling to the singles just for the month of September. So the goal of today's message is to help couples confront and overcome the landmine. Everybody say landmine. Of what I believe is one of the most critical challenges facing marriage today. Now, I can't take it for granted that everybody in here knows what a landmine is. So a landmine is actually an explosive device that's usually hidden. And it's activated when pressure is applied. It's activated when it's triggered. And once the pressure is released, it explodes. So this leads me to my foundational scripture. And that foundational scripture can be found in Proverbs 18:21. And they should put it on the screen. And it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. So my question is, how do you respond with your mouth under pressure, especially in your marriage? So I kind of had a difficult time deciding what to actually call this message. And so I landed on this. Guard your tongue, guard your marriage. Guard your tongue, guard your marriage. Now, many of us understand, what is the purpose of a guard? A guard is to protect. A guard is to provide safety. Guard your mouth, guard your marriage. Look at your spouse and say, I'm going to guard my mouth so I can guard my marriage. Look at your neighbor and say, guard your mouth. Why y'all start smiling at your neighbor? So you looked at your wife and you said, guard your mouth. Guard your marriage. But then when you looked at your neighbor, you said, guard your mouth. Guard your... Okay. The subtopic, if I were to put it in context with actual the series, is the power of the tongue, life or death to a marriage. Now, my second foundational scripture is going to be coming from James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And it says, so also the tongue is a small thing. But what enormous damage it can do. A great forest can be set on fire by one tiny spark. Y'all feel where I'm coming? You see where I'm going with this? One tiny spark. And the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness. Now listen, this is the Bible. This is not James Shaw. It is full of wickedness and poisons every part of the body. And the tongue, everybody say the tongue, is set on fire by hell. By hell itself, and can turn our whole lives into a blazing flame of destruction and disaster. The tongue, the same tongue that speaks blessings, can also speak curses. How do you respond with your tongue under pressure? Now, let me be clear that many marriages don't die because of one big flame. It is from a slow burn. A slow burn of constant, everybody say constant, criticism, sarcasm, and negativity. How do you respond under pressure with your tongue? Because it's not the big flame that destroys the marriage. It is that slow burn. Before I dive into the topic, I think it's important to set the foundation about relationships. See, many of us understand this. There's a vertical relationship. Y'all can say amen to that. Amen. There's a vertical relationship. That is with God and his people. And in that relationship, there are three C's. The first C is covenant. See, covenant is an agreement, a sacred agreement initiated by God between him and his people. If you boil it all down, it is God pledging himself to his people and we pledging ourselves to God. Y'all can say amen to that. Amen. The second C is communion. We're talking about vertical relationship. Communion. Communion is a visible sign pointing back to the covenant. Communion is a visible sign pointing back to the covenant. Every first Sunday here at Word of Truth Family Church, guess what we do? We take communion. We take communion. And when we take communion in the Bible, in Luke 22:20, it says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. So communion points back to the covenant. Communion points back to the what? Points back to the covenant. Now, the last C is communication. Communication is not silent. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. Communication is not silent. Communication is not silent. Covenant is not silent. It requires communication. God communicates his covenant through his word, his principles, his protocols, and his promises. God communicates that to us by his covenant. And then it goes on in Psalms. Psalms 1, 1 through 3 says this: blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the what? Law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. God communicates to us through his word. We communicate back to God by prayer. Everybody say prayer. And worship and obedience. Second Chronicles says this: if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear, auditory, hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. So, in our vertical relationship with God, we have covenant, we have communion, and we have communication. Now, let's spend the time in this next relationship, and that's our horizontal relationship. I'm going to work this out. Now, we said in the vertical relationship we had the three C's. Guess what happens in the horizontal relationship? We have those same three C's. Now, listen. Many of us understand that in our horizontal relationship, it is God's authority that a man and a woman get together. It's under God's authority that a man and a woman get together. And in that getting together, there are some expectations and promises. Many of you that got married, you said some vows. Yes? And in those vows, you said something like to love, to honor, to respect, in sickness and in through richer or, y'all didn't say that too loud. The richer or poor, and ultimately to what? Death does us part. Those are the expectations in the covenant. To love, to honor, in the good times, the bad times, whatever times we have, till death do us part. Now on this next C, that's covenant. On this next C is communion. I'm going to need a little help from you guys in the audience. Because I'm going to say a few things, and I just need y'all to say amen real loud. Because I said that communion is a visible sign. And so I see some people here right now. I see y'all booed up. I see you got your hand around your wife, booed up a little bit. That's a visible sign. Okay, but here's where I want you to start saying your amens. See, holding hands together in public, just because. Somebody looked at her husband like, see, I told you we should be holding hands. I told you. All right, here's another. On date night, your phone is secondary. Have you ever been at a restaurant and you saw two people and it looked like they were together? It looked like they were together, but they both on their phones. And my wife and I were like, My wife and I like to play a game like, what are they doing? Well, he's scrolling through his phone looking at these emails. She's on social media looking at likes and whatever. And so on date night, your phone is secondary. Here we go. Another amen. There should be a little kissy-kissy. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to do a little kissy-kissy right now. Come on, a little kissy-kissy, a little kissy-kissy. That's a visible sign. People should see you, all right? There should be a little touchy-touchy. There should be, in public, a little laughy-laughy. See, travel quite a bit, and I can tell oftentimes, and my wife and I will be out and we'll see couples, and sometimes you can tell the new ones. You can tell the new ones because they smiling, looking at each other like they like each other. Anybody ever seen that before? It's like, ooh, young and married. So was nice. But then you have couples and they act like they are perfect strangers. I call that toleration mode. Some couples, when you're on the front end, super excited. But on the back end, it gets to a point where I just tolerate you. I tolerate you as a person. I tolerate you as a human. And at the end of the day, it's okay to understand that we got to have some visible signs and have fun with each other in public. My wife and I will see people, older couples, and they're just carrying, as the old saints would say, they just carrying on. And my wife and I will ask them, how long y'all been married? Because I want my marriage to kind of look like what they doing 40, 50 years married. I want people to know that I'm happy with my wife. And my wife wants people to know that she's happy with her husband. And so in that horizontal relationship, we have covenant, we have communion, and then we have that last C, because covenant is not silent and it's communication. Can y'all remember when you were remember when you were dating somebody and you would call them on the phone talking about what you doing? I'm doing the same thing 5 minutes ago, and we still talk. Can anybody remember going to sleep on the phone? Going to sleep on the phone? You still there? I think I might have fallen asleep. Yeah, I'm still here. Crazy, right? Now we hardly talk to each other. So here's where I want to camp out today. I want to camp out in this sea called communication. So here's my first point. When communication is misused, someone will feel abused. I'm going to say that one more time. When communication is misused, someone will feel abused. Can you put up on the screen Genesis 2 and 24? Genesis 2 and 24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become how many? One. Come on, how many? One. They shall become one flesh. So the two becomes one. But here's the problem. We come in with different belief systems. And coming in with these different belief systems, it's belief systems like, where are we going to worship? How are we going to handle the finances? How are we going to discipline the children? Will the children be involved in sports? What happens when we get into conflict? What are the rules of engagement? So we come in with all these different belief systems, and they're usually misaligned. My daughter is a chiropractor, and she'll tell you that when your body is not aligned, it doesn't function properly. When your marriage is misaligned, it's not going to function properly. And so many of us, we come in with these belief systems because how many of you know how you were reared leaves an indelible mark on how you actually behave in your marriage? See, my mom and dad, they never argued in front of the kids. There's only two of us. They never argued. Now, would my mom fuss about some stuff? Yeah. And then my dad would leave, get in the car, and be gone for like 2 hours. But as I got older, I figured something out. I must have been like a teenager. And when my mom and dad would ever get in intense fellowship, whenever they would get in intense fellowship, they would always get in the car and leave. And then my mom would come back and her eyes would be super red because she'd been what? Crying. So it's not healthy to not see your parents in intense fellowship. And so when I got married, I tried to avoid intense fellowship because I brought it into my marriage. So we bring all bags into our marriage. Some of these bags are big bags. Some of these bags, you know, some of these bags look like what they've been through. Uh-huh. Sometimes we have bags that are empty, but we keep it around. Because you know what? I can forgive, but I can't forget. And when you keep bags around to try to remind you of what was. See, the Bible says, no man is fit for the kingdom who puts his hand to the plow and looks back. But I just want to remember, just in case it happens to me again. Sometimes we have bags. Sometimes we have bags, and then we try to, I don't even know how to open this thing. Here we go. Sometimes we have bags, and then we actually hide bags in a bag. I just got delivered from this bag, but then I hid the other bag. I'm bringing all these bags into my marriage. And oftentimes when we bring these bags into our marriage, we dump them on our spouse. And then what happens is they become hidden. They become hidden. And as soon as your spouse steps on and then the pressure is released from you, then we start using some words that we shouldn't be using. When we misuse our words, someone is going to be abused. And so now, how is our communication misused? Well, I'm glad you asked. I got the same verse three times. And I'm going to help you with this. In the NIV version, Ephesians 4:29, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. Here's the same verse in the Message Bible. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty. See, I believe the Message Bible was talking about those people that be cussing. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of you. Say only what helps each word is given. Last verse, same verse, from the Living Bible. Don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to and what will give them a blessing. So, how is communication misused? Based on this version, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, which means unwholesome talk is coming out of your mouth. That same verse in Ephesians, watch the way you talk. Guess what? You're not watching the way you talk. That last verse, Living Bible, don't use bad language. Guess what you're doing? You're using bad language. Listen, how many of you know that there's power in words? See, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God, and then ultimately the Word became flesh. In Genesis, it says, and God said, and there was. And God said, and there was. How many of y'all remember this old adage? Sticks and stones will break your bones. Words were what? Words were what? How many of y'all know words hurt? Written words or verbalized words, they hurt. And so now, misused words will either trigger you, and in many cases, misused words will create trauma in your life. So are you talking out of your trigger? Or are you talking out of your trauma? Or is your trauma your trigger? So at the end of the day, triggers create unhealthy communication. Trauma creates unhealthy communication. And then what ends up happening is, and I had a sign on here, but it's not over here. But what happens is that we start making declarations. You always talk to me this way. You never appreciate me. Your triggers, your trauma become declarations. And then they become your defaults. And when they become your defaults, then you're insensitive to your spouse and their method of communicating with you. So guess what you do? You shut them out. As I said, trauma and triggers create unhealthy communication. Do I have that camera up here? Come on, camera. Come on, cameraman. I just want y'all to see something here. Uh-huh. Now, I want you guys to vote. Which one of these, just right here, just focus on this right here. Which one of these bags would you say is unhealthy communication? Would you say it's this bag? Or would you say it's this bag? So all of those that say this bag, raise your hand. Oh, gosh. Okay. Thank you, cameraman. Thank you, cameraman. Thank you, cameraman. And so now what ends up happening is that most of the church said this one right here. And I asked people in the back, look at this. Look at this. This is a mess. You got chips. You got creams. You got ties. You got socks. No underwear in here, so be careful, y'all. It's all good. But all of this is in disarray. This is in disarray. And so what ends up happening is this. I call this side right here the unfiltered side, the butcher knife side. This is the side that will say, thank you, sir. This is the side that will say whatever they want to say and however they want to say it. See, over here, you ain't no man of God. You ain't no woman of God. If they knew how you acted at home versus acting at church. See, I know you weren't no real man. You ain't had no dad at home. See, most people choose this side right here as the unhealthy relationship communication. But look here. This is also unhealthy. It's just compartmentalized. See, this is the one that cuts you like a paper cut. See, over here, blood is going everywhere. You just... Has anybody ever had a paper cut? And paper cut gets you in those vulnerable places and usually lasts longer than a gas. See, these are measured cuts. Precision cuts. These are the cuts that when you're talking and the person talks under their breath while they're walking away. What you say? These are the cuts that sound something like this. Did you remember to pay the water bill? I knew you didn't do it. You don't ever pay the declaration, default. You don't ever pay the water bill on time. Did you take out the trash this morning? Dang it. Now, you know you messed up. She know the trash is just still in the garage. It's stinking. And then she's going to ask you, did you take out the trash? Precision cut. So, at the end of the day, all of these triggers and traumas cause people to shut down. And when a person starts to shut down, this leads me to my second point. When communication is misunderstood, it never turns out for anyone's good. When communication is misunderstood, it never turns out to be for anyone's good. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Proverbs 4 and 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all that getting, get understanding. Here's what happens when people shut down. They refuse to try to get understanding. See, what ends up happening is that have you ever been in a situation What I said, what I heard. You said this. I didn't say that. But this is what I heard. And so what ends up happening is I'm stopping trying to get an understanding, because at the end of the day, have anybody ever heard of the telephone game? The telephone game is you start something down here, and by the time it get all the way down here, the whole message done changed. See, that's what the devil does. The words are coming out of your spouse's mouth, and from the air of their mouth to your ear, the devil done twisted it all up, and now you're processing with a faulty filter. And when you process with a faulty filter, it's because you've been what? And your trigger turns into your... And then all of a sudden you start making these declarations that turn into what? Have you ever heard your spouse after some intense fellowship and then they say this? What you thinking about? What you thinking about? See, my wife does a really good job. We'll be in intense fellowship, and then we're done. In her mind, we're done. And she's past it. It's over. We're through. Anybody got a spouse like that? Anybody? Two people? Okay. It's over. It's done. And then she'll come to me and say, so babe, what you thinking about? And in my infinite wisdom, in my mind, I'm like, why are you even asking me that question? But then in my infinite wisdom, I give her one word, and that one word is nothing. How many of you know that the way God wired our brains, you can never think about? So now you lying straight lying, because you don't want to get back into confrontation. And so now what ends up happening is now you're thinking about nothing, but then the devil gets in and starts, you have a whole conversation in your brain. And when she say this, I'm going to say this. When he say this, I'm going to say this. And now you done had a whole conversation because you're thinking about. Now, you cannot excessively think about something, but there's no way in the world you can think about. Here's a take-home statement. If you ain't saying, the devil starts playing. The devil will get in there and twist all this stuff up. And then if you go to your wife, you know, well, you said this. I didn't say that. And since we don't have it recorded, there's no way to know. But this is what I heard. So now, if you have a faulty filter, you got to be able to fix that. If you don't have the right heart space in your communication, you won't have the right hear space in your communication. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. So what is the application? What is the application here? What is the application? How do I shift from death to life in my marriage? Well, number one, you got to repent of destructive words. You got to confess to your spouse. But before you confess to your spouse, confess to God. Say, Lord, how have I used my tongue in an inappropriate way? Because confessing will help heal the hurt. Number two, you got to practice intentional blessings. You got to speak daily words of affirmation and encouragement. You know what? My wife calls me and she just says, babe, you're the best thing. You're the best thing. You're the best thing. You know what? You are the man for the job. Nobody can do it like you do it. And so when I hear those things, I believe that I have my support system helping me. The next thing you need to do is you need to pray together, because prayer changes the climate of your communication. I'll say that one more time. Prayer changes the climate of communication. It invites the Holy Spirit into your conversation. Replace reaction with with reflection and resolve quickly. Don't let anger control your words. Pause and let God filter your response. See, many of us, we just fly off the handle. How many of you ever heard this term? You go from 0 to 100. How many people in here struggle with going from 0 to 100? Okay. So now you need to ask God to help you with that. Don't let the sun, in Ephesians 4:26, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. So my wife and I, we have the 3-minute rule. So if we're in intense fellowship and we just can't get a resolve quickly, we say you can go and you got 3 minutes. You got 3 minutes. Not 5, not 30, not 3 days. Do y'all know that there are married people, they don't talk to each other for days because they're mad at each other. And the Bible done went down on their, the sun has gone down on their anger 3 days, 5 days. I ain't talked to my wife in a week. Week! Number 5, listen to understand, not to win. Listen, if you're trying to win the argument, if you're trying to win the conversation, you both lose. James 1:19 says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And then my last one is, choose words that heal. So now, here's what I want to do right now. I really believe that we have some married couples, and if you're in the building or if you're watching through the lens, see, God wants you to not be triggered in your marriage. He doesn't want you to bring your trauma into your marriage. He doesn't want you to start making declarations. You never. And then these declarations become your default. So with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I just wanna pray for people, couples, who actually need to get better in their communication with their spouse. Some of you in this room, you argued on the way to church this morning. Some of you in this room haven't been talking. And I believe God wants to heal you in this area of communication right today. So with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, my first appeal is for you that's in the room and for you, those of you that are watching through the lens. How can I get better with my communication? If you know that you need to get better in communication with your spouse and your horizontal relationship, that's the covenant, the communion, and now more so the communication. If you need to get better in that area, why don't you go ahead and lift your hand? Come on, lift those hands. Wow. Wow. I know I need to get better. Wow. Almost half the room. You can put your hands down. I want to challenge you today. And I'm going to ask the question a different way. How many of you in this room will commit today to having better communications with your spouse? Raise your hand. Wow. Keep those hands up. Wow. 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 Now that's 3/4 of the room. Put your hands down. Wow. My prayer is that you send notice to the devil today that, you know what, devil, you're not going to win in this area of our marriage. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you now to do only what you can do. Heal the way I talk to my spouse. Heal my heart, Lord. Lord, I know I've brought some baggage into the relationship. Lord, I know I've been holding on to some baggage. But today, Lord, I release all the baggage. I give my life to you. I give my mouth to you. I give my words to you. And Lord, soften my heart. Help me not to yell at my spouse. Help me not to talk over my spouse. Help me to seek understanding when we're in conflict. Help me, Lord, because I want my marriage. I love my wife. I love my husband. Thank you, God, for healing us, delivering us in Jesus' name. Now, all heads still bowed and all eyes closed. I want to actually ask these questions.